Glenn, give me your take on this story, this so-called discovery.
Well, you know, the claims of the body of Jesus being located in different tombs and the claims of Mary Magdalene being located in different tombs are prolific. We know that there's a serious case to be made, at least by Japanese people, that Jesus was married in Japan. There's a serious case by Sue Olson and an Islamic connection that Jesus and Mary Magdalene are buried in Kashmir, following that he survived the cross and went to Kashmir after his supposed crucifixion. There's claims of Jesus' tomb in Africa. There's claims of Jesus and Mary Magdalene in Western Europe. There's not enough bodies to go around. George, if you followed every single one of the legends, it would be you'd be going stir crazy
forever
because one of the things that really peaked and crescendoed by the 10th century was the fact that if you could have an artifact or some claim to fame, that people would pilgrimage to your church and pay their tithes and offerings, and it was one of their revenue centers for them by that moment in history. But if you wanted to find out where the people really went and why it's impossible that Mary Magdalene could have possibly been buried with Jesus in Jerusalem, that's a story that's really rather well documented. And Mary Magdalene was not buried in Jerusalem. It's impossible.
All right, William Henry, your take.
Well, first of all, I highly commend James Cameron and his crew for putting together this amazing story, this wonderful educational opportunity for everybody, because it's bringing together so many diverse points of view and putting a very important question on the line. What exactly happened to the body of Jesus? And we're not going to find any bones anywhere. If anything, I would submit that what they might have found in those ossuaries would be toenails, hair, or fingernails. And the reason I say this is because drawing upon the Tibetan tradition, there is a very deep body of knowledge surrounding this whole idea of the rainbow body, the body of light, the resurrection body. And when the human body accesses the nerve channels that run throughout it, it can transmute itself into a light being. You have the capability to do this, George. So do I. And what was demonstrated at this time, 2,000 years ago, was this incredible possibility that is wired into each and every one of our bodies. And that, to me, is something that is being overlooked in this whole conversation. I agree with Glenn. You can make a case for Rennes-le-Château, France. They talk about the tomb of God being located there. FDR, as I wrote in my book, The Atomic Christ, sought the sacred most precious casket of Christ in Mongolia in 1934. We have letters about the expedition specifically referring to this casket. And what FDR sought is the same thing I think we all should be looking for as well, which is the esoteric aspect of this. He knew you were not going to find the bones of Jesus or Mary Magdalene. What you were going to find, though, is evidence of this transformation into a body of light, a vortex of energy into which these adepts could transform themselves upon dying.
That's what it's going to all come down to, whether we believe that this human named Jesus had the ability to resurrect.
And that, you're right, George. That is the whole question right there. Strangely, this event is never described in the Bible. It is the foundation of Christian faith, in fact, Western civilization. But we don't know what happened or how did it happen. It's a lost event. It belongs to the mystery tradition. But now I think we're starting to be able to come into a time in history where we can look back and say, hey, you know, this is really an incredible event here. What are the details of their resurrection? Because the details are so incredible that we should do a whole show on it, really, because there is so much here, so much that we are learning. And it's a subject of immense fascination for many, many people.
Glenn Kimball, what's truly the rationale behind this documentary? I mean, I don't think it's money for the people involved. I mean, what message are they trying to get to everybody?
Well, first of all, the network that it's on, and I won't mention the network, but it's been mentioned on the air here this evening. In my travels to Egypt, for example, this year and a half ago, when we went to take some photographs of the places where Jesus had gone as a child with the Holy Family while they were in exile in Egypt, you could not take your cameras into these locations. They were restricted by this very same network who had bought up all the rights to the story of Jesus in Egypt, period. And in addition, they bought up all the rights to the Gospel of Judas,
mm-hmm.
And they bought up all the rights to the Talmud Emmanuel. They are systematically buying up what sells a great deal, and that is the story of Christ. It's a bestseller. It's capitalizing on Dan Brown. Dan Brown is my hero in my mind. I've never met him, but I'd love to meet him.
Why? Why is he the hero?
Because he said the thing that to people that was would have caused him to be put up to ridicule. And that was the fact that Jesus may have been married to Mary Magdalene, and wrote a story about it. And this was not fun. This ended up not being a panacea for Dan Brown. It ended up being a very, very difficult trial for him, even though he made $75 million off of it. It was a very difficult thing for him to do. But he's unlike the other people that are doing this particular venture, who are cashing in on this Jesus story, which is it's an old thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a story back 2,000 years ago. The Roman Empire itself had found out how much money the patrons had come and left at the church in the temple mound, and they literally came and destroyed the temple mound. Took it down brick by brick, milled off all of the metal inside the temple, and took it to Rome and used it as the revenue to build the Colosseum. that was the money they used to build the Colosseum in Rome. And when they figured out that they could make that much money off dismantling the temple, there were other reasons to take various and sundry pieces of the story of Christ and make revenue off of it. And that's what's happened over the centuries. The artifacts, the tithes and offerings of the people, it has been both a glorious story and a sad story at the same time.
I'm getting two sets of emails, primarily those who simply say that they do not believe that these stone boxes contain the remains of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And I don't know if their belief system will ever change, regardless of what may or may not be found. The other group just simply says, I'm tired of this religious stuff, and I don't want to hear it anymore. What's the significance, Glenn Kimball, of all of this anyway?
Well, I think the significance is that the original story of religion is a story of history all the way back 100,000 years ago. We take, for example, something that would be interesting for this particular audience. You take the story of the Anunnaki, which Zachariah Sitchin has so ably presented on the air. The part that he's left out was the fact that if you look at the Anunnaki, or at the Sumerian exhibit that toured the Royal British Museum and the Louvre in Paris, and you take the one statue that is the statue of representing an Anunnaki individual, or the Anunnaki himself, if you look at it very closely, it's a man nailed to a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual was nailed to a cross and predicted that he would be resurrected. And so the story of crucifixion and resurrection is an extremely old, original tale that precedes, certainly Christianity as we know it at the time of Christ, certainly the earliest known records of the Jews. It comes out of the earliest records of the Sumerians. It comes out of the records of India. It comes out of the records of China. It comes out of the records that Hesiod put together for the Great Alexandria Library. And those records come out of the Atlantean traditions, the Lemurian traditions, and all the way back to the King Cronos, the first king of the first epic of mortality. Mm-hmm.